parshas Chayei Sarah. Vayihiyu Chayei Sarah Me'ashana V'yashim Shana V'sheva Shanim. Okay, Sarah lived 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. Shnei, Shnei Chayei Sarah. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, why was it necessary for the pasuk to say the word Shana after each klal? She was 100 years, Mea, Esrim, Shana, and Sheva Shanim. Just say she was Mea, Esrim, V'Sheva Shanim. Why do we have the word Shana after each section? So Rashi answers, the reason why we say Shana, everyone knows Rashi. The kach nil Shana b'chol klal u'klal, lo'im u'lecha. Shchol echad nidrash li atzmai. Bas kuf ki bas chof l'chit. Ma bas chof lo'ichoto. Why not? Shehrei ein bas oinshin. Af bas kuf, when she was 100 years old, b'lo'ichit. U'bas chof ki bas zayin li'yofi. Okay. She did not sin.
But then why do you have to say shehrei ein bas oinshin?
We're saying to give an example. Someone who's 20 years old, Rashi is saying it's a drasha. A person who's 20 years old, until he's 20 years old, is not a bar oinshin. Why not? Because anything that he has done until that point in his life is not subject, is not called a chait.
It doesn't say not called chait. It says not, doesn't
get an omet. Oh, you're saying, I hear what you're saying. You're saying that the person did a chait, and because, and it just, there's no punishment. That's, okay, for the moment now, we can't debate this now, but let us accept that it's totally zeh b'zeh. If there is no punishment, it's not called a chait. It's not the pshat, it's a chait, and there's no punishment. A person does a chait, he needs to, there is a punishment, he needs to do teshuvah. But if a person, if there is no potential for punishment, then that's not called a chait. It's immature, he's a baby. A baby, an infant does something. An infant does something and causes someone harm. Is the baby, the infant responsible? Infant smacks someone across the face. Did the baby make a conscious decision to cause someone pain? Of course not. So a person, even though he's 19 years old, and he does something which seems to be very nasty, he's just not yet mature.
You know, I'm just thinking now, but we see in Torah,
That's an exception to the case. That every there is an encyclopedia of commentary on that topic. Why is the ben soirer umoire guilty? What did the child do? 100%. That's a big topic in itself. But generally speaking, we're going to assume for the moment now, just for the sake of simplicity, is that if a person there's no potential to be punished, then it's not called a chait. Okay, so therefore, we're using this as a drug.
Why is that? 19-year-olds are pretty mature.
What?
19-year-olds are pretty mature.
We think that, Gezeres HaKosef, this is the principle, until 20 years old, there is no punishment from heaven. It's true, a bar mitzvah boy. It's a chazal. It's definitely a chazal that in a bar mitzvah boy, 13-year-old does murder someone, he's put to death. That is correct. But if a person does an avera and there are no witnesses, and there's no warning, then in heaven, in Shemayim, they will not do anything. Bezdin can do something if he gets caught. But if Bezdin does not catch him and he does it on his own, in heaven, they, whatever this means, these are matters that are beyond our understanding. I don't know, this is what it says. Until 20 years old, in heaven, they have a different set of rules. Why? How this works? No one came back to tell us how it works. But that's what it says. These are the rules. Until 20 years old, a person not a baron. So therefore, Rashi, on a very simple level, I didn't intend to delve into the depth of the psychology behind this, but Rashi makes a statement, makes a drasha, that when Sarah died, she was clean from sin. And that's the, and then why? That's what the pasuk is coming to teach when it says the word Shana. The word Shana is still just like when she was until they're 20 years old, they are clean from chait. Because the proof is there is no punishment. If there is no punishment, that means that whatever you're not responsible for your actions. Why you're not responsible? You're immature. You're not. It's not called a chait. So it's coming to be Megala that her entire life was like that. Even when she, even the moment she died, now even though it says by the 100, doesn't mean only 100, it means even 127, she was clean from chet. Question, really? Really, Sarah was clean from chet? There were only four people that did not sin in this world. Who were they? I don't remember. Binyamin,
Yishai,
Kalev, the son of David,
Amram.
Wow, very good. Mark, Yamama, Shabaki. Four people did not sin in this world. They only died because of the Ityoy Shel Nachash, the poison of the snake, whatever that means, because of the Nachash HaKadmoini. Sarah didn't make it to the top four in Forbes magazine for those who never sinned. She didn't make it. She did not make the cut. So she did sin. She's not on the list. Excuse me. Open up the magazine. She's not on the list of the people who never sinned. So what do you mean she didn't sin? Not only can I tell you that she didn't sin, Dr. Fruchter, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. Alex, welcome as well. Alexander, welcome as well. I don't get always get a chance to say hello to you. Ron, welcome as well. We have over here our special Erev Shabbos Chevra. You're welcome to come during the week as well. Welcome. Meir's making a kiddush because his wife came back from Eretz Yisrael. He's going to kill me for this. All right. Okay. Now let's return over here. So what is going? What do you mean she didn't sin? Let's go back to last week's parsha. Vatitzchak Sara b'kirba leimar. Sarah, she laughed. Achre v'loisi hoisli edna v'adoni zokein. She says, I'm an old lady, and she also said, my husband Avraham is also a zokein. It's not nice for her to say that about her husband. You want to go say some self-deprecating humor on yourself, gezunt to hate. You want to go talk about your husband? And Hashem had complaints. Lomazet sochakos, soro lemar, ha'af umnam vaniza, ha'yipolim Hashem dovar? How dare you? And then she denied it. Vatechach esorah, loy, I don't remember the pasuk, vayomer lo ki tzochot, you're a liar. What are you talking about? She didn't sin. It's a beferish apostolic. It's a beferish apostolic. Okay, it's not some medrash. It's some esoteric concept. She was maharer. You know, everyone. You know, every avak lashon hara. No, it's a beferish. She sinned. What did she do to Hagar? She tortured her. Vata'aneha. Vativrach miponeha. She said to Avram Avinu, get rid of this shifcha. Get rid of her. Okay, but then it goes on to say when she, I'm confusing different stories. The Rishonim say, this is the reason why we suffer today from the Arabs. The Ramban says this. Shocking. The Ramban is so critical. They would ban the Ramban today. I'm telling you the things that he says. Is the reason why we suffer today is because Sarah tortured Hagar. It's payback. She tortured her. She was pregnant before Yishmael with another baby. And she put into that baby an ayin hara. And Hagar had a miscarriage. And the Ramban says that's not the proper thing to do. That's not fitting for Sarah Imeinu to do that. Number two. Number three. Do you know how many Mefarshim speak about? They say this most bizarre thing possible. I can't believe it, but they all say it, is that Avraham Avinu, he only cried for a little bit. Mm-hmm. He cried for Sarah just there's a small cough in Livkoisa. He only cried a little bit. He didn't cry too much. Why not? Three reasons. Number one, she was a zakena. She lived a good life. 127, who's zoicha to live 127 years? Okay? 127, not bad. Not bad, 127 years. Number two, what was the second reason? I forgot at this moment. The third reason is another reason I forgot. I don't remember. The third reason is a shocking reason. I can't believe I saw this. Are we showing him say this? She was Mekarev Misasa. She caused her own death. If a person, Rachmana Litzlan, no comparison, Lahavdil Elf, all of those, a person takes his own life. Me Ikar Hadin, there is a whole different set of rules. There's no levaya, there's no hespedim, there's no nothing. Today it doesn't apply, because today it's mental illness. There's nothing to talk about. It's not a good thing, you know. It's not a good thing. Rachman Litzlan. But today no one can say today the place. No, you can never say about a person Rachman Litzlan, whatever happened, that, you know, it's whatever it is. But Sarah, she heard that Rashi says she heard that her son Yitzhak was taken to the Akedah, and kemat sheloy nish the kemat sheloy nishchata uparcha nishmasa mimena. Excuse me, just because you heard that your son was taken to the Akedah is not an excuse that you should die. You should have had some self control, discipline, and lived. So she brought about her own death. He has such a shocking thing to say. And therefore, who says this? The Panach Rosa maybe says this. I don't remember. I saw this yesterday. So therefore, she was Makarev Misasa. She's partially to blame for her own death. And a person who is to blame for his own death, you don't mourn for them. This is like off the charts, bizarre, right? All right, but people, the Mepharshim that said, so therefore, is there a tiny mashu of truth to this? Not for me to say, chas v'shalom, but some Rishonim say these things, so they're very desperate to find her in her chato'im. She sinned. She tortured the Ramban. You can't get bigger than the Ramban. The Ramban is mamish, the foundation of Yadus. All of the Yisoidus Hamuna come from the Ramban.
Do they mention her kicking out Hagar and
Yishmael? That's what I just said. That the Ramban says. The Ramban says that the reason why that she sinned a terrible aver, she kicked her out, and she tortured her. She put an ayin hara into her baby. She had a miscarriage. And the Ramban goes so far to say the reason why we suffer from the Yishmaelim is because of the way Sarah treated Hagar. Unbelievable. So what do you mean she didn't sin? What do you mean? The Pasuk says, Vatachachesh, so she laughed, and she denied laughing, it was a cover up. All right, you know, you can't say such things like this about the Imos, but to say that she's not listed among the list of people that never sinned, so how do you say that she never sinned? So I want to suggest that's exactly why the Torah wrote the word Shana. To tell us people, you have no clue who this person was. Like David, Kala Oimer David Chota Eina Elotoya. I know you're going to go back when Sarah was the first great person in Klal Yisrael to die. And what happens when a person dies? They write an obituary. You ever read these obituaries, these secular obituaries? They pick up on the biggest narishkeit. The biggest narishkeit in the world, they once had a write-up on Rashi, a secular write-up of Rashi. What was the godless of Rashi? What is the greatness of Rashi? So the whole article, you know what Rashi's greatness was? He preserved for us in the museum a couple of words of old French. That if not for Rashi in his commentary writing these old French words, it would be lost from the world. We would never even know that these words existed. This is the godless of Rashi. Yeah? That's the godless of Rashi. From a Goyisha cup. That's what Rashi. You have a museum, and you have to have a dinosaur. So the one who preserved the bone from the dinosaur, tell me, that's what Rashi's godless is? Rashi is the Rabban Shel Yisrael. Okay? So Sarah was the first great person to die. The first great person in the history of Klal Yisrael to die. All the newspapers now have a task to write an obituary. They're all sitting there the whole night typing the deadline, they're going to print. So what are they going to do? What do they do? What does the world do? The world, they thrive on finding chesroinus. Sorry, Menu, yeah, she was very, very good, but there was a scandal here and a scandal there and there was a this there. This is human, this is the Welt, Goyische Welt. You're looking for chesroinus. And you have what to work with. I mean, it's pretty good. Vatachachesh Sarah bekir b'leimar. Lamotzachak, to lie. I didn't lie. She cover up. Vata'aneh Sarah. She tortured her. She tortured. She abused a child. She abused a woman. Today, the mamash go to town today in this crazy world, right? The mamash go to town. The pasuk begins. Sarah died. You want to write an obituary? Remember one thing. She'd never sinned her whole life. Ah, it says, you have no clue. You don't understand who she was. Don't judge her on your puny kleina cup. Kleina cup. She was a giant of giants. Her sin was a sin, daka shebedaka, that it's between her and Hashem. It's not for any human being to have any understanding of to say that she sinned. She was a tzadekes. She was bas kuf ke bas chof. Ma bas chof. There's no chait. There's no chait in Sarah. Oh, but it says she sinned. Kolo ime David chata eine elatoya. Ah, he lived with an eshes ish. On his madrega, between him and Hashem, he has to deal with it. There's something there. There's a whole sefer Tehillim. He has to deal with it. Sarah has to deal with her issues. But for us to go judge her and to say, oh, she sinned, she died, write the obituary, she died. Shaitim sheva oilam. Don't judge Sarah on your kleina hasagas. I was reading this from a barrel wine. He says something that's very, very simple. Very simple, but yet it's very, very profound. Beryl Wine, obviously, Rabbi Beryl Wine is a genius of geniuses and a world renowned historian. I know he's a world renowned historian. The amount of research and work that he did is unbelievable. And he writes in the Hakdam of one of his books something very, very simple. What's the difference between Jewish history, between Sha'al Avicha V'Yagedcha V'Zeinecha V'Zignecha Yomulach, and you read a secular book, you go on Amazon, you buy a book about Jewish history, you buy a book about the Crusades, you buy a book about the pogroms, you buy a book on history from an historian, from a world-renowned secular historian, from Harvard, from Yale, from Princeton, all the Ivy League colleges, world-renowned historians. What's the difference between the way we study history, between a Jew who studies history, especially Jewish history, and the way a Goy studies history? The difference is, a Goy, when he looks at people who lived 1,000 years ago, he looks at them the same way he looks at the people living today. You learn about Rashi, you learn about the Rishonim, you learn about the Rambam. Yeah, the Rambam was just regularly, just like you have a person walking the street today, you have a politician, you have this one, you have that one. The Rambam had typhus. The Rambam had rivals. Rambam had friends and enemies and had an agenda and had this. So you write about the Rambam, you study history as if it happened today, as if the people, the players, the cast of characters are on the same level then as they are today. So when you look at the Rambam, make believe the Rambam was living today, and you the same way you'll go and you'll analyze Biden, Trump, and Pelosi, and this one and that, and this one and that one, and Trudeau, and Zelensky, all of them with their tivus and their covid and their mishigasim.
That's what I think you're saying, is by today's standards.
By today's standards, and you look at the midos, the mushchasim, and that's what you attribute to the people, the great people, the previous generations. When a Jew, a shomer Torah mitzvah, studies Jewish history, when you look at the people from the previous generations, they are giants. They are malachi elokim. They are spiritual beings that are beyond our comprehension. And when you look at their behavior, their actions, don't you dare inject into what they did with your klein hasagis of kovet, taiva, mammon. That's not the way an Orthodox Jew studies Jewish history. When you start to look at history, you have to have reverence, fear, and awe of the people that the people that you're studying, who they were. They were Gedolei Yisrael, they were Malachi Elokim. So to go say, Vayu Yimei Chayei Sarah, we're going to give a hesped. Call up the New York Times and they're gonna go right. They're gonna sit the whole night, and they're gonna put out the nastiest things you can possibly find, because
an excellent example of his katnas hadoros.
Skamas hadoros, exactly. You read the hadoros.
The New York Times, I think.
You read the Sadaris, that they judge everything in the... No. The first thing is, we know what it says back in Parshas Vayera, Parshas Lech Lecha. Mind your own business. Vayimei chayei sara mea shana esrim shanim sheva shanim ma bas chof eina beloi chet. Sara was beloi chet. Kolo oime sara chota eina elatoya. That's the yesod of the parasha. You have to understand that, and that is, she's the dogma for all great people who pass away. It's not your business to go and pick something that you have no connection to, and now because they're not alive, they can't defend themselves, for you to go and go and make a whole deal out of it. That is a terrible sin. Next, ma bas chof, ma bas zayin li yoifi. A girl who's 7 years old is exquisitely beautiful. So too, when she was 20 years old, she didn't look like, I don't want to give you some examples.
That would be self-incriminating.
Okay? All of the commentators ask the same question. What are you talking about? A girl who's 20 years old is much more beautiful than a girl who's 7 years old. 7 years old is lack of sophistication. What does this mean over here?
A picture of it.
Ah, so it says Yoifi. Yoifi. So Machol gave one answer. Yoifi doesn't mean it doesn't mean
the Yoifi. Is that also?
Okay, there's this. So you're right. Sometimes you see a 7-year old girl, you say, oh, she looks like she's 20 to me, right?
No,
okay.
No, what I mean is
there's a certain innocence.
Right.
All right, so but it's still in the physical appearance. Okay. So it's a very difficult question. I saw some Mefarshim say that in the time of Chazal, people, they matured much, they matured much earlier, all these different answers. I saw one answer, which is not what I want to say, but I think it's a trigger. And it says, Yoifi here means midos. The beauty of a person is not what they look like. The beauty of the person is, what? An Eishes Chayil is midos. Aravinu, he says, he was 90, Sarah was, how old was she at that? 80, how old was she when he's first, the first time that he saw Ato Yodati, ki isha yifas mare ot.
Close to 90, obviously.
She was close to 90, so he never saw what she looked like. So when he says yifas mare ot, it means something else. It means midos. Okay, I want to say something very simple, another, something just a drush. There's only one other place in this parsha where Rashi uses the word yoifi. It's not his words. It's a chazal. This is also not his words. It's a chazal. Yofo sichoson shel avdei avois yoisem mitoiroson shel bonim. Eliezer comes to the well to find the zivug. And Eliezer gives a whole long speech. What's the word? A soliloquy?
Yeah.
That's about yourself. What is that about? Soliloquy. What do you say when you soliloquy? You give a whole speech, a soliloquy. He gives a whole address, Nagud the convention in drasha. He gives a drasha. He gives his drasha for the Nagud the convention. He comes to the well.
He's telling the story in detail.
And then, oh, look at this.
More of a narrative than a solution.
And then what happens? He finds Rivka, and then he goes in to Besuel and to Lavan. Nu eat. No. Before we eat, I got to give a drasha. I practice. I gotta give my, you know, there's two keynote sessions in the Aguda this Thursday night and Mitzvah Shabbos. So Eliezer first gave the Thursday night drasha. Now he gives in the home of Eliezer the Mitzvah Shabbos keynote address. Nachamo, Rashi says, what's going on here? What's this whole long drasha? Teretz is Yofes Sichoson. It is more beautiful. The Sichoson of the Avdei Avos of the Avdei Avos. Of the servants of Yavos more than the Torah and the Torah of the Bonim of the children, because many Ikorim in Torah we only know from an extra letter, from a Gezeirah Shava, from a Hekish Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes, and here we have a whole long drasha. Okay, why did Chazal select the word Yofes Sichoson? Sichoson simply is translated as idle chatter. Okay? Sichosan, you should study the idle chatter of the great people, because in the idle chatter there's chokhmah. Okay, he's not giving a drasha, he's not saying Torah, he's not saying over Shalosh's Torah, he's not davening. Why do they use the word sichosan? So the answer is, what I just told you is not true. The word sicha is used in reference to tefillah. Going from word to word in this week's parasha, Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basode. Yitzchak went out, what does he mean losuach basode, to pray? What, he's going to talk with losuach, he's going to go to idle chatter in the field. Who's he talking to? The trees? He's talking to the animals? Talking to the bees? Who's he talking to? He went out, losuach means to pray. The word losiach is a code word for koyach of tefillah. Rashi learns the story of Eliezer different than most Rishonim. People don't necessarily pay attention to what he says over here. When Eliezer comes to the well, and he says to Hashem, and he comes to the well, we have Vayomar, okay, the Shalshos, Vayavarech HaGemal Mechusriya Ba'alabarabayim V'leisar, V'leisar Shavos, Vayomar, okay, the long Vayomar, Hashem Lokei Adonai Avraham, Hakrino Lufanach Hayoy, Va'asei Chesed Im Adonai Avraham, and he does do chesed, and he makes a tenai. And then at the end, he says, Oiso hoichachta, the girl that comes out to draw water, you have selected, Rashi Be'er Arta, la'avdecha li'yitzchak, period. Now here are the key words. Uvo eida, ki osiso chesed im Adoni. Now, if you wouldn't look at Rashi, and you look, in fact, look at the Targum, look at other Mefarshim, it would seem that these words are a statement. Hashem, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to have this deal where the girl that's going to come out and want to present me with water is going to be the one that you selected. Uvoida, I'll feel confident. I will then feel confident. Ki osiso chesed madoni. I'll feel confident. Oh, I've now found the girl. Rashi says that's not the pshat. Wrong. That's not what it means. Uvoida, Rashi says, means l'shoin techina. It is a prayer. He was mispalel. These words are, please Hashem, let this be the way you reveal yourself to me. Uvoed aloshoin techina. Choida liba. Let me know through this. This is a prayer. Yofe sichosa jol avi avos. Yofe the tefillah. The koyach ha-tefillah of the Avdei Avos. Yosef mitoros and shalbanim. There's a koyel Yaakov. Why is a repetition? Kol Yaakov. The kol tefillah and the kol Torah. Which one is Hashem mechaviv? Which one is more choshev? The kol Torah or the kol tefillah? What do all the gedolim say? When you dive in, you talk to Hashem. When you learn, Hashem is talking to you. Mm. What's more chaviv? When we talk to Hashem, or when he talks to us? It's pashut, when we talk to Hashem. That's much more chaviv. Hashem can talk to us, that's not a big deal, Hashem talks to us. It's much more chaviv that we have an ability, Hashem has given us an audience, that we're able to talk to Him. Not only is it more chaviv, kol Yaakov, kol Torah, kol Tefillah, and it's telling you that what's more chaviv to Hashem is the kol tefillah. Not only is it more chaviv our kol tefillah, it's more chaviv the kol tefillah even of the Avdei Avos. Even the tefillahs of the servants of the Avos are more chaviv the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Memela, when it says here, uvo, and where is the tefillah? This whole speech is not a speech. It is a prayer. It is a prayer, it is a tefillah. And when Eliezer repeats himself, Eliezer is repeating, let me tell you what I davened. Let me tell you about my conversation I had with Hashem. Yofe sichosin vayetze yitzchok losuach basodah, where losuach means to pray. Yofe sichosin, it is more beautiful to Hashem to record, to mention the prayers. Look at Avraham Avinu when he went to save Sodom. The Torah records the entire prayer. It's a whole aliyah. Are there 50 people? Are there 45 people? Are there 40, 30? That was a prayer. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a consistent pattern of behavior in the Torah that when Moshe Rabbeinu, when anyone is mispalel to Hashem, Hashem records the prayer in its entirety. Barichos. Yet when it comes to Hashem teaching us all the laws of the Torah, kachim, and this and that, and everything, tayag mitzvos, b'derech remes, Hashem, what I have to say to you, it's not so important. We can summarize it with a dat. We can summarize it with, you know, a remes, with a hekesh, with a gzer shava, with a yud gimel misha. It's not important what I have to say to you. But what you have to say to me, I'm all ears. I'm listening. Let me listen. Talk. Let me record every word that you say to me. Hakol kol Yaakov. Hakol kol Yaakov. It's let me hear, and not only is it chaviv, the sicha, yeah?
I understand that the term sicha is one of the terms used to describe tefillah. It's just that the term itself implies a dialogue.
Heshi. What do you want to tell me before? What do you want to tell me before? I'll tell me later. Yeah? I'm calling, yeah?
And you don't actually, maybe I'm being too literal, but you don't see a dialogue when it comes to these prayers. Now, when you talk about Sodom, there's definitely a dialogue.
Okay, I don't need dialogue. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. Yofes Yichasen. Okay, so that's the Yisrael. Now here, and then let's go now to the next level. Ben Bas Chof Kibazayin Liyoifi. What does Liyoifi mean? Yoifi is a code word for what Rashi himself used in this parasha, Yofes Yichasen. Prayer. And now it's very simple. You go into a first grade and watch them daven. Baruch atah Hashem. A child 7 years old, that's the perfect age when they daven, when they begin to really daven. And when they daven, they really daven, for real. Their minds have not yet been clouded and polluted with cheshbonos, hester panim. The prayer of a child 7 years old is so pure and sincere, and so Sarah, when she was 20 years old, she davened like when she was 7 years old. It doesn't mean physical beauty, because it can't be. Physical beauty is not something which matures. It matures when you are. We have over here on the screen a child, the purity of a child. Okay, your grandchild, Rabbi Naiman, is showing us the purity of the Yofes Yichasen of a child. 7 years old, it's a little younger than 7 years old here, but 7 year old child is a Yofes Yichasen. Someone under 7 years old, it's not, you know, it's too, they're too, they don't know what they're saying. It's not, 7 years old is the time when a person matures and davens to Hashem for real, and he's not confused. Oh, there's this. Hashem doesn't always answer your prayers. There is a beauty. There is a sincerity, a tamimus in the koyach hatfila of a seven-year-old child, and that's when it reaches its peak. And when it says yofe, the only other place where it says yofe in Rashi in this week's parasha is yofe sichoson shal avdei avos. And there, when it says Yofe Sichasan, Siach means Vayetze Yitzchak Lo Suach Basode. And as we gave this whole drasha, the Siach is the Koich of Tfila of Eliezer. And now take that word Yofe and bring it backwards to when she was 20 years old, she was like 7 years old, to teach you that nothing ever changed in her Yofi. And the Yofi here is not a physical appearance. Can't be the Torah is talking about physical appearance. That's not what the Torah ever dwells upon.
It does, Rachel and
Rachel, so what?
Yifas
toyar, yifas. All right, so I take those words back. But it, this is not the attribute the Torah is talking about. Sorry, to her yoifi. There's something more, like we said, because it can't be. And in the way when we look in this world, a girl who's 7 years old has not yet reached the peak of her beauty. So it can't mean you want to go tell me all these different mysterious ideas. All right, you can say whatever you want to go say. But we're trying to say a drush. The word yafa is a code word for tefillah, the beauty of tefillah. How do I know it's a code word for the beauty of tefillah? Because the only other place that Rashi used the word yafa in this week's parasha is by Eliezer. And Rashi there says, why is the story repeated twice? Yafa sichas shel avdei yavas. What does that mean exactly? What is the word sicha? Sicha means prayer. How do I know it means prayer? Because it says Vayitzchak in this week's parasha as well. Vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basod. And everyone there agrees that he went out there to pray. It doesn't mean he went out to talk to the trees. It doesn't mean that. It means he went to pray. And therefore, Eliezer, it's Yofed the Siach, the Koyach HaTzvilah, when we see this for a fact in the Torah, whenever there's a person who davens to Hashem, Hashem, the Pasuk records, the whole tefillah and the chidushim of the halacha are only taught derech remes. Now when it says yod, that when she was 20 years old, she was like she was 7 years old, which is a revelation upon her entire life. Once we compare, we make one link, it represents the whole life. It means that Sarah Imenu, her koyach tefillah, was sincere, was pure, like that of a 7-year-old child her entire life. And it's something to strive for, to dive into Hashem with such innocence and such simplicity, without any calculations and any havamina that Hashem is not listening. That's the beauty of Sari Imenu. That was the hesped for Sari Imenu. So number one, she was 120. Don't you dare go and start looking into the Torah and trying to find chesroinus. And that's a Musa Haskel for all great people that pass away. It's not your business to dig up garbage. They're not here anymore. Don't judge them on your level. Number two, the Klech of Tefillah and Sarah. Okay, let's jump to another idea. It says at the end of this parasha, Vayinochem Yitzchak Acharei Imo. Yitzchak, after he took in Rivka into his home, he finally found comfort. Question, how long ago did Rivka die? Did Sarah die? Rashi says that until the person finds comfort in his mother. And then, eventually, when he gets married, Rashi says, then he finds comfort in his wife. Now, Sarah died. How long ago was there from the time that Sarah died until the time that he got married? At least 3 years. According to Rashi, Yitzhak was 37 years, Rivka was 3 years old. Okay, there are other midrashim, it's not the only pshat, there are other Ibn Ezra, there are different opinions, but that's the minimum. So there's a 3-year gap between the time when Sarah died at the Akedah, until he married Rivka and found comfort. Don't we have a halacha that a person finds comfort after 1 year? After 1 year, the mace is nishtakach min halev. It only takes 1 year to have nechama for the loss of a person. So why did it take 3 years for Yitzchak to finally come to terms with what happened to Sarah? It should only take 1 year. That's the rule. Gezer min Ashman, that a mace is nishtach min alev after 1 year.
Was Yitzchak b'chlal at the Mubayah?
He was not. Chazal said he was so, it doesn't matter, the person dies after 1 year. So what's going on here? It should be only one. Why did it take 3 years? So all the Mepharshim deal with this. The Imamish deal with this at length. Maybe what you're saying, maybe he's one of the Pshat. He never had real closure. Since he was not the Levaya, he was not there. Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. Okay. Other ends, some Mepharshim say, I saw this yesterday, shocking Chiddush. This that Chazal say a mace is Nishtagach min Alev after 1 year is only for everyone else in the world besides parents. Parents, you need 3 years. Well, here it says Vayinochem, at least 3 years. This halacha, 1 year, 12 months, not parents. Anyone else, any other person that a person suffers from their loss, 1 year. That's the gzirim in Hashemayim. A parent, 3 years, Vayinochem Yitzchak. Unbelievable, no? Incredible chiddush.
Or he got married.
No, it doesn't say that. It's okay. I want to suggest a drush. We only have to have here. He's not here. Wilbur. What was his first name?
Dennis.
Dennis Wilbur. And a lot of the first, they dwell upon this thing that why did Sarah die when she heard that Yitzhak was taken to the Akedah? Uchemat shaloi nishkata. Parcha nishmasa mimena. Okay, so in the modern world today, this is something you only get, you would think about it if you read these magazines that make you meshugana. In the older days, you don't think like this, but the magazines ruin you.
Guilt.
The magazines make you meshugana. The magazines make you think about this. Don't you think that Yitzchak had guilt? Yitzchak, I caused her death. Well, how did my mother die? Because of me. I caused her to die. Because kimat shaloi nishchata, when she heard that I was taken to the Akedah and I was almost slaughtered, she went, and she died. Whatever, I caused her death. Guilt. Maybe I should have told her in advance. I should have called her up. We should have somehow told her this and broken the news to her. I should have been the one to tell her what happened. We should have broken the news to her gently. Look, they sent Serach Bas Osher in a very delicate way to sing a song to Yaakov Avinu. Oy Yosef Chai, don't you think Yitzchak had guilt? Had guilt. So I want to suggest something which you really, I don't know if it's crap, you can say this, is that is, when it says, Vayinochem Yitzchak Acharei Imo, it's not the Nechama for the loss of his mother. That's a Gemara Mefureshes. Yitzchak learned the daf. He knew that today was Daf Chavdal. Today's Chavdal already, Chavdal Nadarim. He knew that. He knew what the Gemara says that a person's a Gezerah Menashmam, the mace is Neshtachach Menalev after 1 year. That's not, so therefore he already had Nechama for his mother. When it says in the end of the Pasuk that he had Nechama, Acharei Imoy, it means he had Nechama for himself. He blamed himself. I caused her death. I'm guilty. And when he finally got married, and what's my proof? Because the pasuk connects this, the nechama is only connected to after he got married. That's not enough. And he brought her into the tent of Sarah. The Torah makes a very strong emphasis that the nechama only came when his bias was a replica of Sari Menu. That now the Nair was Doilek Mishabbos El Shabbos, there was a Bracha Mitzuya B'Isa, and what was the third thing? The Bracha Mitzuya B'Isa, the Nair was Doilek Mibayu from week to week. And what else was the third thing Rashi says? Is he brought her El Ho'oihela of Sari Imo, the tent of his mother, Sarah. Torah doesn't say, according to the Gemara, Nechama comes automatically. After 12 months, it's over. You don't have to get married. You want to go tell me a Jewish Rashi says as long as a person has a mother, he finds comfort in his mother. And then he finds comfort in his wife. So, what? There was a cloud. There was an anan. The Shekhinah was hovering over the tent. So if you wanted to focus on the Gemara says 12 months. That's it. 12 months, no preconditions. 12 months, you have Nechama. You want to sell me a new concept that until, while you have a mother, your mother calms you down. Ki'ish asher tinachem imoy. It's possible in Yeshaya. Ki'ish asher tinachem, I don't remember the exact words, tinachenu imo, that the ultimate comfort a person has in his mother calms him down. Now, he doesn't have a mother, so now his wife, okay. You don't have to tell me that his home was a replica of Sarah. I don't know, many people don't want their home to be a replica of what went on at home. They want to have their own home. All of a sudden, the Nechama comes when 3 years pass. Number two, he gets married to Rivka. Number three, his home becomes a replica. The Anan is kosher to the tent. There's a bracha in the Isa, and the Ner is Doluk. Oh, now vayinochem Yitzhak achare ima. So I'm suggesting a drush is that now he no longer had that guilt because he brought her back to life. He, even though it may be true, he had guilt that he caused her patira. He caused her to depart from this world. But by emulating her, by marrying a woman that is like her, and creating her oil of sorry imenu, he brought her back to life. No one's going to live forever. Okay? No one's going to live forever. But the guilt that I took her out of this world, no one's going to live forever. That was already 1 year. Whether right or wrong, 1 year. But the guilt that I'm the one who caused her to die, look, I've replicated her. I've brought her back to life. Vayinochem Yitzchak. Yitzchak had nechama for himself. He was a depressed. He was mourning over himself. Look what I did. What? He was mourning over the loss of a person. He caused her death. Read Mishpacha magazine. Read all the magazines. It's all about guilt, 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 self-guilt. Whoever thought about these things years ago, you ever think about these things?
What?
Rashi, the first Rashi in this week's parasha. Why did Sari Menu die? When they heard Kimat Sheloi Nishchata. When Sarah heard that her son was taken to the Akedah and he was just about ready to be slaughtered, and the very last moment he was not, Sarah, on a very simple level, can't believe this. Her heart skipped a beat, but never came back. So Yitzchak, I am suggesting, based upon the contribution of all of the wonderful writers in modern society, Jewish writers, he had self-guilt. Look what I caused. Because I was taken to the Akedah, I am the cause of my mother's death. I should have, could have, would have. Look, it should have been different. Before we went to the Akedah, I should have went to my mother and told her what we're about to do. And we should have consulted with her, and we should have consulted with all of the experts, all the king's horses, all the king's men. We should have consulted with them exactly how to tell her in advance and what to do afterwards to have her and keep her in the loop. We'll set up a live stream. She can watch and this and that. There are techniques that can be done in the professional world. Just for enough money, just pay enough money. Insurance will cover it, but for enough money, we can raise some money. We'll have a GoFundMe to raise enough money to bring in the biggest professionals in order that she should not die from this experience. He blamed himself. After 1 year, there's nechama. It's a Gefer Shul Gemara. So what took 3 years? So some of Farshim go so far to say that for a parent, you need 3 years. Really? It doesn't say that in the Gemara anywhere. It's a tremendous chiddush. So I am suggesting a drush that Mishpacha magazine would be very proud of. And that is the nechama was not for his mother. It was for himself. Yitzchak blamed himself. He hated himself. He felt guilty. All the juicy keywords. All the guilt words. And now when he replicated the loss, he brought the Shechina back into this world. He brought his mother back into her. Oy hello, sorry, Imo. With the cloud, with the Nair, with the Isa. Oh, now Yitzchak didn't feel guilt anymore. Yitzchak was healed. Okay, that's my suggestion. All right, running out of time, let me just tell you something very important, and that is Eliezer, one more word. Eliezer, when he comes back, when he makes his drasha, he keeps on emphasizing Elokim hinchani bederech emes. Emes. Hashem guided me on the path of truth. The path of truth. We have a very interesting haftarah this week. V'amelech David Zokein bo bayamim. And then it comes time to appoint a successor. And there's an usurper to the throne. What's his name? Adonia ben Chagis. Adonia ben Chagis obviously was very talented. He was able to bring with him the majority of David's loyalist servants. We're dealing over here with the creme de la creme. Is that how you say it? The creme de la creme. The spitz.
Depends what language you're speaking.
Okay, we're dealing over here. He was able to recruit. He was able to recruit to get the vote of the best of the mamish. Look at the lineup.
He ran a campaign.
Look at the lineup here. The lineup is awesome. And they all went along with him. He's going to be Adonia Ben Chagis. There, David's Zakin doesn't know what's going on. He's out of touch. He doesn't know what's going on. And this is going to be the next dynamic leader of the free world. And then Basheva says, excuse me, what's going on? She reads the newspapers, Basheva. She sees what's going on. She sees, what? David the Melech promised me. There was a negotiation that took place when she married David, that her child would be the Melech. Shlomo L'chor wasn't so dynamic. If he was so dynamic, all of these people wouldn't have been swayed. It has to be. They liked Adonia Ben Chagis. Adonia Ben Chagis, there was something about him. Charisma. Maybe a very holy person. You know, I can give you examples. There are people that are very charismatic, and people that they just somehow people just flock to them.
He was older.
What?
He was older.
Whatever it was, he had all the good reasons, whatever it was. And Bathsheba goes to David and says, David, what's going on here? David listens and David says, you're right. David could have so easily said, listen, you know, I said a different time, you know, that was many years ago, it was a whole... Bottom line is, right now, who do the people like? They like Adonia Ben Chagis, they like him. My top people, the cabinet, they all are enamored with Adonia Ben Chagis. So what's so terrible? No, I told you, Bathsheba, who even knows what I told you? You can make up 100 excuses, and it was this and this. There's always an excuse. There's always a legal loophole how to get out of something. And what do we need to make machlekes now? The Olam wants Adonia Ben Chagis, so no, let it be. And David at the end says, no. MS is MS. I gave you my word. I gave you my word. When did I give you my word? When I married you. At the time of the Shidduch. Bathsheba, David didn't, it wasn't so simple for Bathsheba willing to go marry David. It was scandalous. Uriah Hachiti. When did David make the promise? At the time of the Shidduch. Elokim hinchani biderech emes. What's the connection between the Haftarah and the Parsha? You ask the average person. Avraham Zokain, Bo Bayomim. He had a child, he needs to go marry him off. V'Hamelech David Zokain, Bo Bayomim. Wow, magic. They're both Zakenim. They need a successor, the whole story. Really, that's the connection? I want to suggest the connection is no. The connection is Shaduchim. Shidduchim. When Eliezer went to find the Shidduch, what did Eliezer say? Hashem, he brought me to this girl, Bederech Emes. Bederech Hinchani, Bederech Emes. I davened. Okay, you can elaborate on what the Emes is, but the whole Shidduch came about through the Chasima. The Choysom Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. When David proposed to Bathsheba, we have to go to the Maamar Chazal. There was a negotiation. I'm not marrying you. Why should I go marry you? It's scandalous, scandalous over here. What happened over here? I need this. David said, no, 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 no. I promise you, your child will be my successor. So the Shidduch, there was MS, B'derech MS. Now comes the test. Now David is dying. Will David honor Asher Hinchani Biderech Emes, his Emes? See, there's an Emes in the parasha, Hashem's Emes, and then there's your Emes. You have to reciprocate. The same way Hashem brought you the Shidduch Biderech Emes, there's the reciprocation. The reciprocation is, I have obligations. If Hashem has done with me Emes, to bring me this shidduch through the ruach, through Hashem's kedusha, His chosim, the koyach of Hashem, chosim Hashem's emes. There are obligations that I have to reciprocate and pledge in my marriage. And here David made a pledge of emes, who would be my successor. And now, all these years later, is David going to fulfill his marriage obligations of emes? And he says to Bathsheba, I will. I made a promise when I got engaged to you. Hashem was in chani m'derech emes. I reciprocated with the pledge. My pledge has to be emes. You say in the ksuba, the zonin, a husband is makabel upon himself, and the oiker, the ezon, the eflach. Then it goes on, the zonin umefarnes enes nesheihoin bekushta. Why do you say in the ksuba bekushta? Man, in the ksuba you say, this is the custom. The custom is that a husband, he gives kavod, and he supplies parnasa, ezon, the afarnes, yisichi lich, bekushta, with emes. Why? Why with emes? What does it even mean with emes? Many perushim what it means, but in the context of this, it's you have to reciprocate. Every shidduch is the me'ein of the shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka, where Eliezer made a statement, Hashem hinchani b'derech emes. And therefore it's your duty to reciprocate with emes. And,